And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And I'm talking about, we go way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for a good measure. Well, the lovely Charlene just sent me, I mean, it's good to have a wife who cares about the topics I talk about every day. She keeps me up to date on some stuff. She just sent me a text that it helps explain or break down some of what we're seeing right now. It says, according to New York state law, a charge of falsifying business records in the first degree alleges that the defendant committed a crime of falsifying business records with the intent to defraud. The intent to defraud would be an intent to commit another crime. So in other words, the record itself is a crime, and the reason why you did the record potentially is another crime. Trump pleaded not guilty. The judge did not impose a gag order, which, I'll be honest with you, how do you impose a gag order on a guy who's running for president? Or for that matter, how do you impose a gag order, period? If I want to walk out there and tell the world why I think the charges against me are just wrong, how can a judge tell you can't do that? You can not talk about certain proceedings. You can limit the number of cameras or witnesses or observers in the courtroom, but I'm not sure how they could put an entire gag order on. Anyway, Trump pleaded not guilty. The judge did not impose a gag order. The judge said he would like to move ahead as expeditiously as possible. The next hearing in the case is December 4th, 2023. That's moving forward expeditiously, apparently.
That's moving forward real fast.
And we're going to get this thing over with. Whoop, whoop. Let's go ahead and light this thing up. How do y'all feel about, 9 months from now?
Wow.
Good Lord. December 4th. Okay, right before Christmas. That's going to be a hoot. All right, well, there's that. The text lines are lighting up. So 833-687-4448. So, Boomer, you had that idea about the T-shirt. Describe that again.
All right, so... So Wolverine Dan called in and gave me a specific number. It's like the prison number or whatever after somebody gets arrested, you know, under their mugshot. And he said the number should be 47, which is for the 47th president. And he would take office in February of 2024. So it would be 47-02-2024 with Donald Trump's mugshot.
Would that shirt, though, imply that he's not going to be elected?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe in my head is like, haha, I'm still going to be president.
But you got a text message. Who was that one that sent you the text? There was it Mark? What did it say? Oh, what did Marcus say?
Yeah, Marcus. Marcus is like, I'm not a huge Trump fan, but, and I probably wouldn't wear a shirt, but I do know about 10 people that would wear that shirt right now.
Oh my gosh, John from Brownsboro just texted in and said. Bragg, SDA Alvin Bragg, is fulfilling Trump's promise from 2016 to illustrate and root out the swampy governmental actors. He just served the main course of his own political demise. I hope that's true, man. I hope that's true. JT from Lacey Springs, with regards to the date that Charlene just sent me, says, so much for the right to a speedy trial. No doubt. You know what that means, too? The political field is going to start thickening here for 2 months longer. The primary season will be well underway because December... of this year for a preliminary motion hearing is literally just 11 months before the actual, 11 months for the actual election. Golly. Anyway, speaking of which, we understand that Trump's numbers are going through the roof right now, and he's raising money like crazy because of this. What else we got here? John from Huntsville says, Boomer, I'm still laughing at your Mr. Twinkie comment. John from Huntsville likes the fact that you called D.A. Alvin Bragg Mr.
Yeah,
Twinkie.
Yeah, that slipped.
I'm just
going to go.
Puff Daddy up there making his allegations, yeah. What do we got there? Ken from Harvest says, back to the thing about renaming bases. He goes, I don't understand why anyone would want to change the name of Fort Bragg. He may have been a Confederate general, but his inept leadership did as much for the Union victory as Grant and Sherman. There's a point. Tyler from Huntsville just texted in, says they pushed it to December to see who's running for president, and he thinks that if he has a shot, they'll push harder. That's who knows, man. All the more reason to change venue. Go ahead and let's change the venue. Let's move that to, somewhere in North Alabama. What do you think? Can we get venue transferred to North Alabama? I'm pretty sure they would argue, Bragg's office would argue against that. Can you imagine? So the 4th Congressional District, do you remember these stats?
No.
So you and I right now are sitting in the 4th Congressional District of Alabama.
Okay.
The 4th Congressional District of Alabama had the highest per capita vote for Trump in both elections of any congressional district in the entire United States. It was bragging rights for Congressman Adderholt when Trump got elected. So this is not going to be the venue.
This won't be the venue.
They won't allow that to happen. They
don't want that.
Come on, man. We'll get him in here. We'll just put him up in the courthouse right in Gadsden, Alabama, or maybe over a little bitty old Haleyville, where Congressman Adderholt's from. What do you think? No, it's not going to happen. Quit thinking that. What else we got there? Brandy from Athens talking about the base closure says these bases will always be their former names. I agree. For me, someone's going to say, where'd you do airborne school? And I'm going to say Fort Benning, because that's where it was. It was Fort Benning then. Where were you stationed? Well, I was at Bragg on my Moab going out of both my tours. Anyway, you're right, Brandy, you're right. Jeff from Indiana, regarding Governor Gavin Newsom coming here. By the way, did you catch that, Boomer? I think you may have been on the phone. Did you hear what I said that Governor Ivey's comment was?
I saw it this morning, and I meant to say something, but I was on the phone, like you said.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe that she hopes he has a good time here.
She said it, though. It was total shade. Oh. She said, Governor Gavin Newsom won't be the first person to flee California for Alabama. I hope he enjoys his stay.
Okay, so I only read that part, and I was like, are you kidding? But now I'm like, okay. That makes me happy.
Maybe that kind of comment is what being a high stepper means. I don't know.
I like that.
High stepper.
Yeah, I can't believe he's coming to Alabama. Really?
Just
come on. Just don't come.
He's got to prove he ain't scared.
I guess that's what he's trying to prove.
And maybe he also just wants to secretly look around and see how it's supposed to work.
That may be it, too.
Maybe he's here to say, hey, fellas, can y'all kick in a little something for the reparations thing I got going right now? Or maybe he'll want to give a speech and say, in the heart of the original Confederacy, I am telling you that I'm going to pay $642 billion in reparations for slaves. Whatever.
What is he thinking?
I don't got no idea. What else we got here in the text lines before I move on to the next part of the triple dipper? Jeff from Green Hill says, tell Boomer he'll get locked up for counterfeiting. That must be your coin thing. And then Badger from Athens says, I identify as a winner in my own mind. Can I get a coin? Thank you, Badger, for identifying as a winner. That beats what we have most of the time. What you got, man?
Sparky.
Oh, I'll take it. Sparky from Harvest on line one before I move to the next part of the dipper. What you got, brother? How you doing?
Hey, really good. Great show, you and Boomer. I was born on Fort McClellan, Alabama. No longer exists. I lived most of my life in the 60s in and out of different tours. My father was Army Aviation.
Yeah.
Fort Rucker, Alabama, and it was my home. Lived in family quarters on that base for years and years. Years later, went through flight school there. Years later, trained and worked there, and became a leader there. Got an ex-wife, my ex-house, and all my ex-things there. So I got a lot of history with Fort Rucker. I disagree vehemently with changing the base of any of these historic military bases for the reasons that were stated, because they're not just attempting, they are erasing history. Changing Fort Rucker to Fort Novosel, that's a little bittersweet for me. I know Mike Novosel Sr., the Medal of Honor winner, and I met his son, God rest both of them. And it's kind of like, well, if you're going to change it, at least you picked a good name. An honorable gentleman who flew with great valor in Vietnam. But still, it's like, you're going to stab me. Oh, great. Can you use that Gerber knife? Because I used to carry a Gerber on my flight vest, and I have fond memories of it. That's kind of how it is for me.
Well, you know, and I totally agree. I'm sorry, Spark, did I cut you off?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I totally agree. Like, Fort Benning is a place that is like, just like burned into my heart and soul. I've spent so much time there. And Fort Benning, though, is going to be renamed Fort Moore in honor of Hal Moore, who, you know, the Battle of the Idrang Valley in Vietnam, and we were soldiers. Right. And so, yeah, what a great person to name it after. But still, why is it?
Well, and I really thought they were going to name, like, Fort Bragg was going to become Camp Snowflake, and Fort Hood was going to be Fort Woke. So I guess it could be worse. Victory and whatever absurd names. You don't have victory when you change something that historic on bended knee. And I'm sorry, but the Department of Defense went the wrong way on all this. But
they did. Yeah,
God bless everybody who served and trained at Fort Benning. I guess Hal Moore, if you had to pick somebody, that'd be the one.
Well, and that's true. But, you know, what they're also doing with this, Sparky, is they're not only erasing history, they're imputing guilt to those of us who serve there by saying we're serving at a racist name based. And none of us, nobody, not a single person of any color or demographic served at any of those bases with the intent to say, I want to make sure I get stationed at the place where I can be a racist because it's cool. Nobody, not a one.
Of course. And in your service, a lot like mine, I'm quite sure. I've never in my life, in all my life, been in an environment like the U.S. Army where, man, you cut us, we're green. We bleed green. You know, I didn't see color in all my years of service. My friends of different colors and persuasions and backgrounds and a guy I flew with who was from Cuba, a Cuban immigrant. Nobody saw it that way. But these woke idiots and the idiots who have surrendered to them have infused this CRT endeavor to put this CRT shame on us, and I am unashamed. Sorry.
Yep.
Will not bend the knee to these people.
Sorry, not sorry. That's exactly right. And just like you, you know, my family being multi-generational Army, I don't recall seeing it. In fact, I remember, and I've said it on my show multiple times, I remember my dad saying how proud he was because the Army was the first true generational melting pot of America, and it always has been.
Your father was exactly right, and I don't know. I try not to be disheartened by it. I like to think things can turn around, but it has to start at the top, and the people in the five-sided building have got to take their orders from somebody they can respect and follow policies that they believe in. And by the way, that's why we're having accession problems and egregious retention problems.
There you go. Sparky, I'm going to a break, brother. Appreciate you as always. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, Boomer, that's a perfect spot. Take us to the break. Have I even started this dipper yet? I haven't, had I? how does this happen? It's a good thing I didn't have any call-in guests today because the show is gaining a life of its own. All right, you guys stand by. I am thinking that I'm going to go to the next part of the Triple Dipper, the national insecurity, right after this break. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So we're going to kick off this next part of the Triple Dipper, national insecurity. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world, man. So we spent the first bit of the show talking about home fries and mixed interspersed with questions on the national stage about President Trump's arraignment today. Home fries being that segment we do periodically where it's all Alabama-centric news that are things that are happening around our state, things you got to know. Well, guess what? There's also stuff happening that's really not making the news cycle very well, but it's having major implications for our national security. Oh, by the way, while the Biden administration's in charge, which leads me to call this topic national insecurity. So General Milley gave some interesting testimony the other day. Now, part of me looks at this and goes, you know, I would imagine he needed to say that because he wants more money for forced modernization. I'm hearing from others, people who know, that forced modernization is going to be the thing. Like, lots of money thrown in to upgrade our systems, our capabilities, new weapon systems, increase our stockpiles. And part of that's being depleted by what we're giving to Ukraine, but other parts are just because we have some platforms that have been around for a long time. And, you know, a lot of money has been put into, over recent years, into Air Force projects and other things, but we're looking at probably the Army land-based systems, the Abrams tank, the Paladin, the air defense. They're going to wind up having some upgrades. They're going to have some new weapon systems. Why is this important compared to what General Milley said? Because General Milley testified just the other day. Story out here on Fox News, came out this past Friday, says that Milley testified last Wednesday, less than a week ago, before the House Armed Services Committee, and said that China is on a disturbing path right now to become militarily superior to the United States by mid-century. Mid-century ain't far away. So what we're talking about here is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, regardless of what you think about him, put that aside for a moment. I think it's, and by the way, let me just pause there and say, this is, I have a hard time with Milley. I have a hard time because if you look at his uniform and his resume, the man is a warrior, special forces, ranger, jump master, combat diver. I want to say multiple bronze stars. Tours in major conflicts, has been a leader at all levels, and he also is presiding in an administration without basically ever being held accountable for things like overseeing the raw pullout of Afghanistan. I get it, he's following orders, but I also get it. You know what, sir, if it was that bad, I think I would have resigned by now. He's got a full retirement. He's served, and he's been 4 years now as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So I don't know. I get frustrated. I look at a warrior's uniform, and I don't see a warrior leadership coming out of him right now. That being said, now that I have just testified as that lowly colonel who hasn't served as far as he has, I will just say this. His testimony is still significant regardless, because you have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs testifying to Congress that within 25 years-ish, China is pacing right now to be militarily superior to us. His words, quote, they have a national goal to be global, co-equal with the United States, superior militarily by mid-century. They're on that path to do that, and that's really disturbing, he says. That's really bothersome. The U.S. Intel Committee tends to add to that. Also assessed earlier this month that Beijing is, in fact, accelerating the development of its key capabilities, and the People's Liberation Army needs to confront the United States in a large-scale sustained conflict. No, I take it back. What it would take for them to be able to confront the United States in a large-scale sustained conflict. They're also, by the way, warning that China is ramping up its nuclear development program. So national insecurity, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff testifying to the House Armed Services Committee that his concerns are that within the next 25 years, if things don't change, that China could in fact be militarily superior to us. Meanwhile, recruiting campaigns go on to make sure that we have a more diverse military and that abortions are available on demand for everyone in our military. And oh, by the way, we need to make sure that we are looking at equity and inclusion. China's not doing that. China's building warriors. And we are too. Let me say this. I am not going to denigrate the service of every member of our armed forces. If you sign up because you want to bring more diversity to the armed forces, go do it somewhere else. Go help PETA. Go help Greenpeace. Go join the Peace Corps. If you want to be a warrior, we need more of you. If you want to take the fight to our enemies and keep them off of our land, we need more of you. National insecurity. That's where we are right now. I'm going to come right back and tell you what just happened with NATO. It's a big, hairy deal, y'all. We just expanded NATO. Did you know that? No, it's not making the news. Why? Because Trump ate a ham sandwich. That's where we are right now. You guys, stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hour number three. This show has flown by. I mean, man.
Zooming.
Okay, so I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. And I'm going to cover it for a few more minutes, and then we're going to spend some time trying to unpack what we know so far about the Trump indictment as number three before the day is over. So I got to tell you, it's important that we look around the world and see what is happening. It's amazing to me some of the major news stories that relate directly to our national security, or as I'm referring to it, our national insecurity, that are just not getting reported. Because the news cycle is ate up with stuff like whether or not Trump flew to New York City. And did Trump drive to the courthouse? And did Trump wear black shoes? I don't know. What color socks did he have on today? He's got a red tie. It's just, anyway, here's one for you that on the world stage has major implications. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like major. Finland just joined NATO. Did you know that? Finland just joined NATO. Story off of Fox News dated yesterday. Finland is becoming the 31st member of NATO. They were just ratified for membership. The holdout was Turkey. It has to be ratified by all of NATO nations. Turkey had been holding out because they were mad about a few things. But we are now looking at adding another NATO nation. What does this do, by the way? Well, Finland borders Russia. I mean, if you picture a map, you got Ukraine kind of down further on the western edge of Russia. Come up across the Baltic, and you've got Finland. This is going to double the size of NATO's border on Russia itself. It's not like we've got a buffer of other countries between. No. We just doubled the length of border territory that NATO has on the actual border of Russia itself. Now, so is this important to us? Yeah, it is. Because right now what you're looking at is, first of all, Russia claims that a part of its grievances was that NATO is encroaching. That NATO said it wouldn't do that. NATO's encroaching. I got news. The only reason why NATO grows is because people get scared of the former Soviet Union / now Russia. The only reason why Finland, and soon to be Sweden, I would bet, have decided that it's in their best interest to join is because of the aggression of Russia against Ukraine. I'm not making comments a whole lot on the war of Ukraine right now. It's another article I've got in a minute. But right now what I am saying is Article 5 of the NATO alliance that says an armed attack against one is an attack on all just got bigger because Finland now pretty much locks in. Oh, by the way, Finland also borders the Baltic. So Finland now borders the Baltic and Russia. And, oh, by the way, they've got a pretty strong military themselves. They've got a substantial, well-trained armed force, according to the article here on Fox. They've got elite troops capable of operating in sub-zero temperatures. They've got a large reserve. They also have invested heavily in new equipment to include dozens of new U.S.-made F-35 fighter jets. So NATO just expanded in a huge way, and this really put a big piece of our NATO puzzle in place. Are you hearing about that on the news? Not much. But what does this do to the overall? Well, the Nordic nations, like I said, have been ignoring the idea of joining. They hadn't shown any interest. But NATO literally had something like 80% of its population vote in favor of joining. It became a thing. When Russia invaded Ukraine, these non-member nations began to look around and go, what the heck, man? So we just picked up a huge piece right there. But here's something else happening over there that you're really not hearing about right now. Military.com reports as of yesterday, Russian tactical nuclear weapons, I just used the word nuclear, you heard it, Russian tactical nuclear weapons will be deployed close to Belarus's borders with NATO neighbors. they're taking their nukes and they're moving them outside of Russian borders. Belarus is, of course, a part of the former Soviet Union, but Belarus is a separate nation, obviously a Russian ally. It's right on the northern edge of Ukraine. It's right on the southern edge of the Baltic states. And Belarus, I don't know if we have any other place where you can say that there are Russian nukes staged outside of Russia now. You know, when the Soviet Union fell, they went out and they kind of scarfed up their nukes from what were then former Soviet countries that weren't going to be aligned with Russia anymore. They brought them in-house. For the first time that I can recall, we are now seeing Russia staging nuclear weapons. Oh, by the way, on the border of a war zone. Oh, by the way, more central to NATO countries. Ambassador Boris Gryzlov's comments on the situation followed Russian President Vladimir Putin's recent statement about plans to station tactical nuclear weapons on the territory of Russia's neighbor and ally Belarus. The announcement marked another attempt by the Russian leader to dangle the nuclear threat to discourage the West from supporting Ukraine. Putin has said that construction of storage facilities for tactical nukes in Belarus will be complete by July 1st. We are literally months away from tactical nuclear weapons leaving Russian borders, traveling into a neighboring nation to be postured closer to NATO countries. It ain't good. You hear about that much on the news? No, because Trump ain't a ham sandwich. That's where we are. That war in Ukraine, by the way, I've got an article here from 1945.com. By the way, if you haven't checked it out, 1945.com is a pretty legit news source for military articles. And they spell it, numerals are 19, and then spell out the words 45.com. So 1945.com has a piece that I pulled that was dated 2 days ago, talking about how the war in Ukraine looks a lot like World War I. And they don't mean that in the geopolitical sense. They're talking about on the ground, boots in the mud, because in and around the area called Bakhmut, and if you look up Bakhmut right now, Putin is staging everything he's got in winning in Bakhmut, and he can't. He keeps getting pushed back by Ukrainians who are devastating his troops. Tens of thousands of Russians are alleged who have been killed in Bakhmut. And Bakhmut is becoming a stalled trench warfare. There has not been a fixed trench warfare in the true sense since World War I. And that's where we are. It says a video of Ukrainian assault units engaged in an attack on a Russian trench circulated on social media. The horrific conditions of mud, enemy dead, and a bombed-out countryside resembled a scene from All Quiet on the Western Front, but it was not a movie. It's one of several videos that serve to show how fighting in Ukraine now resembles that of the Great War. It's a return to trench warfare, they said. The Ukrainians have built trench lines as defense barriers to counter Russian assaults, but as Kyiv is continuing to prepare for its own offensive, the Kremlin is now building its own heavily fortified trench lines. They're not only building trench lines, and those of you who are military know what I'm talking about. They're building frontline trenches, communication trenches, secondary lines, and even bunkers. So this is a sign that you have reached some measure of a stalemate. When you are digging in fixed fortifications like this and setting up trench warfare, that's a bad sign that things are not going the way you want them to go. By the way, something else that Milley said during his testimony. Defense1.com points out that in his testimony to the House Armed Services, Milley says he does not believe that Ukraine is going to... He still believes Ukraine can win. He does not believe that Ukraine is going to win this year. It's going to take a bit longer. And I don't... You know, and with Putin at the helm, God knows. I mean, how far will he go? I don't know. Leaving the European theater, I will tell you, in terms of national insecurity... People forget that on any given day right now, we have 900 troops in Syria. Syria is Syria. Here's the other piece of analysis that I don't see talked about much. Why do we have troops in Syria? Because of ISIS. Why did ISIS gain so much ground? Because of the Obama-Biden administration. Oh, puts a whole new perspective on it, doesn't it? That's right. The guy in charge, the one who jacked up the debacle the situation in Afghanistan, the guy who abandoned 1,000 Americans and billions of dollars of military equipment. Oh, that's right. He was vice president. He was the second to the commander-in-chief during the rapid pullout debacle from Iraq that caused ISIS to spring up out of nowhere, fill the power vacuum, and seize territory that covered northern Iraq and southern Afghanistan, or southern Syria. And to this day, since 2014, we have 900 or so U.S. forces still stationed in Syria. And, oh, by the way, just last week, we had one American contractor and several U.S. killed and several U.S. troops wounded when Iranian drones struck a U.S. base in northeastern Syria. That's not, there was conflict and we got caught in the middle. That's an Iranian drone striking a U.S. base in northeastern Syria, killing one American and wounding several U.S. troops, which then sparked basically a bombing campaign in retaliatory fashion from us. And folks, that's happening right now. And yet, because Trump had a ham sandwich, you're not going to hear it on the news. For God knows, we have troops in harm's way right now. And we have a Biden administration in charge who the same guy, Biden, who's at the helm right now, was the second in command when it created things that set the stage for us to have troops in Syria. It's a mess, I'm telling you. And I do not believe that we are going to have true national security until Biden is out of office. We've got to get to the point that we have an actual commander-in-chief. Right now, we have a commander in name only. But he does not command presence. He's the guy who went to greet the 13 coffins that came back from his debacle pullout in Afghanistan. And while he was waiting in line, he looked at his watch because he had somewhere else to be. That guy. Last thing I've got is the Rand Corporation just finished a major study. And they're pointing out that we are dangerously short of certain critical materials. And those critical materials, rare earth elements, they call them, are so often we're held into account by China. And yet we use them in our cell phones, in our cars, in satellites, wind turbines, night vision goggles, laser-guided missiles, F-35 fighters, you name it, something has to have some element of rare earth materials built into it, and China has the corner on the market right now. And the Rand Corporation points out that if we are going to make sure that we are in a posture to have national security, that we've got to get ourselves in a posture to not be dependent upon our near-peer adversary on the world stage, China. All right, there you have it. I did it. I got through the whole dipper, Boomer. I decided just to blaze my way through it. Yeah, that stuff's real. Take us to the break, Boomer. But that stuff is real. That stuff is right now. That stuff is happening, and you're not hearing about it too often because the media wants to cover whether or not Trump wore socks to the hearing. I don't know. We'll talk about it when we get back. Switching gears, going to the actual Trump card. We'll cover it. Now that we've covered some home fries and some national insecurity, now we'll focus a little bit more on what is going on with Trump in New York City. Be right back.